Good morning. It is Kale and Company live right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Great to have you with us on another great-looking day. Get out and enjoy this great weather. We deserve it here in the state of New Hampshire and all around New England. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental with individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle. Learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. One programming note to start the broadcast today. I do want to remind you before I forget that we will have another Facebook Live show on Friday. You ready for that, Andrew? Facebook Live once again on Friday here in studio and on our WKXL Facebook page. So we got a good reaction to the first one. I have a feeling we'll get even better reaction to the next one because more people know about it now. But it will be on Friday from 8 to 9 right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. You'll see a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes and between the breaks here at WKXL. Little inside stuff. So you'll want to join us for that Facebook Live telecast on Friday morning from about a little 8:05-ish until 9 o'clock. So tune in for that terrific excitement. I'm sure we'll have donuts in the studio. It will be a festive occasion, ladies and gentlemen. How about the Boston Bruins? They really stumbled to the finish line, losing Monday night to the Washington Capitals. Capitals made the playoffs, partially as a result of that win on Monday night over the Bruins. Bruins were blanked 2-0 by the Caps. And then last night they went home, and at the Garden, they lost to the lowly Ottawa Senators, whose season ended last night. Bruins will live to play at least another series, and that series is going to start later this week against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They didn't do themselves any favors by stumbling to the finish line and having Toronto as a first-round opponent, but that's the way it is going to go. You know, last year, the Bruins had the best record in the NHL in the regular season, which is probably not a good thing to have, winning the President's Cup, because there are many cases of teams having the best record in the NHL in the regular season and being eliminated in the opening round of the playoffs. That's exactly what happened to the Bruins last year. So they didn't win the President's Cup this year. The New York Rangers did. And the New York Rangers will meet Washington in the opening round. And maybe the Caps can knock off those Broadway blue shirts, the New York Rangers. Now, the Bruins lost their final home game last night. And we found out like an hour before the game that Jack Edwards is hanging up his microphone after 19 years as Nesson's play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins. And Jack has had a great career. I worked with Jack at the very start of his radio career. And I did the first hockey game I ever broadcast. It was a high school game from Snively Arena in Durham, which no longer exists. But Snively Arena did a high school game, and my broadcast partner for the game was, in fact, Jack Edwards. And Jack, in a statement last night, said, "I grew up a Bruins fan, and who had more fun than us over the last two decades," he said. "In collaboration with the Bruins and Nesson's leadership, I recently decided that the time has come for me to finish my shift as the voice of the Boston Bruins. I am no longer able to attain the standards I set for myself to honor the fans, the players, the Bruins organization, and Nesson with the best that they all deserve." If you have watched Bruins telecasts over the last two or three years, you notice that Jack's style has become more deliberate, a little bit slower, And you know, many people have commented on this. And there have been tests done. I mean, this is all public knowledge. This is nothing inside. This is all public knowledge. There have been tests done, neurological testing. Jack, I know, was tested for cancer. He's cancer-free, according to all reports. No neurological damage. Noticeably, a slower delivery sometimes, searching for words and that sort of thing. Well, I know what that's like. So it's not exclusive to Jack Edwards, that's for sure. But at any rate, Jack did a terrific job for the Bruins. And yeah, he was a homer for sure. But you know, look at the career Johnny Most had as voice of the Celtics. And there was no bigger homer than Johnny Most when he did the Celtics games on radio for many, many years. But Jack was always enthusiastic and Bruins fan through and through. And it says here that Edwards, known for his unbridled passion and downright aggressive announcing, pulled no punches during his broadcasts and was as into the game as any broadcaster working any sport. And Jack added in a statement, "I retire from broadcasting not with a heavy heart, but gratefulness for a 19-year-long joyride. I owe my career, my own pursuit of happiness, to the love and support of my family. I thank every member of the Bruins and Nesson for your loyalty, helping me to achieve and live out a lifetime goal high above the ice." So there you go. National sports fans best know Jack Edwards from his stint at ESPN, which was a long one from 1991 to 2003, where he served as a Sports Center anchor, as well as an announcer for NHL, MLS, Little League World Series, the X Games, and the FIFA World Cup. Jack was a very good high school soccer player at Oyster River High School in New Hampshire, and went on to the University of New Hampshire, where he called the Wildcats games on the student station at UNH for a couple of years, and was in the booth. He had the distinction of being in the booth with me for my first ever hockey broadcast, play-by-play broadcast. Back in February, he opened up to the Boston Globe's Chad Finn about speech issues that have plagued him in recent years, saying he remains in robust health. He told Chad Finn of the Globe, "It doesn't fit any slot. There have been a couple of guesses, but they haven't made a definite diagnosis, and they've been working on me for a year and a half. It's very frustrating, as you can imagine, for me to have this slowdown in my speech," end quote. So best wishes to Jack. Worked with him for a couple of years down south at a radio station in the Queen City, which will remain nameless. But how about the broadcasters that have retired in just recent days? Folks, I'm not leading up to my retirement announcement. I am not going to. They're going to have to drag me out of here. But Mike Gorman of the Celtics, after 43 years on TV as a voice of the Celtics on television. John Sterling, surprisingly, announcing his retirement on Monday as one of the radio voices of the New York Yankees, the play-by-play voice for the last, 36 years for the Yankees. Called every at-bat of Derek Jeter's, every pitch of Mariano Rivera's career. He retired abruptly. Mike Gorman's retirement had been planned for about a year. John Sterling just said, you know, I have some health concerns. He's 85 years old. He retired Monday. And now, Tuesday, we get the retirement of Jack Edwards. Who's next? How about those three icons, though? One in basketball, one in baseball, one in hockey. All retiring in the past few days. Now, for Mike Gorman, I'm sure the Celtics will have maybe a game or two on NBC Sports Boston before Mike actually retires. And Bruins will have a few games on Nesson in the postseason. The Jack will do, but pretty much they are finished. But they've had outstanding careers. And we're going to talk about NPR. And could NPR funding be on the line? We will find out. A lot of controversy surrounding NPR and public broadcasting in the last couple of weeks. We'll delve into some of it when we continue. Right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We are proudly presented by our good friends at Northeast Delta Dental, and we will be right back. Kale and Company live right here, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Another great edition of the Concord Monitor today. Above the fold, Concord Casino hasn't found a buyer. All right, that's one headline. School and city leaders to meet. Joint committee between city and school officials has not met in almost 2 years. Let's see. Regal offers final film. That's hate to see that theater go. I know attendance has been dwindling really since the pandemic, but you know, a lot of people watch their movies exclusively at home now. But I like the theater experience. I like to see a movie on the big screen. I mean, my screen is big enough, but doesn't rival a movie theater screen. And planning board to take up the Phoenix Hall project on Main Street. We may delve into those later on in the show, but wanted to talk a little bit about this story, which comes to us from Fox News, and that is that Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican, is planning to propose new legislative action that would threaten to cut National Public Radio's federal funding if passed, prompted by the news that it suspended an editor who went viral for exposing the outlet's partisan uniformity in its newsroom. You might have heard about this story. Blackburn, the Tennessee Republican, is weighing a variety of legislative options to take on federal funding that goes to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, CPB, which provides funding to NPR in the form of grants. She is specifically looking to prevent NPR from benefiting from public funds due to what her office characterized as left-wing bias. And we quote here a statement by Marsha Blackburn. The mainstream media has become obsessed with doing the left's bidding and taking down strong conservatives, and NPR has led the pack. It makes no sense that the American people are forced to fund a propagandist left-wing outlet that refuses to represent the voices of half of the country. NPR should not receive our tax dollars, end quote. But we'll have more. Blackburn previously looked to sever the government's funding to NPR in 2011 when she was serving in the House of Representatives. At the time, the Republican-controlled House passed a measure that sought to cut $50 million from CPB. Blackburn reportedly said at the time that the time has come for us to claw back this money. CPB is fully funded by the federal government. That's according to the nonprofit's website. All right, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is fully funded by the federal government. That's what it says on their website. The organization provides funding in the form of grants to both NPR and the Public Broadcasting Service, as we know, PBS. The grants to NPR are used for its international bureaus and distribution infrastructure that provides content to all public radio stations. Now, NPR veteran editor Yuri Berliner was recently suspended without pay from NPR following his public criticism of his employer. The suspension was made public on Tuesday, but it actually began last Friday, according to NPR media reporter David Folkenflik. Oh boy, don't want to mess that one up. The organization reportedly told Berliner on Thursday that his punishment was a final warning and that if he violated NPR's policy on employees seeking approval to do work for other news outlets, he would be fired. Now, in an interview with Folkenflik, Berliner said, "I love NPR and feel it's a national trust. We have great journalists here. If they shed their opinions and did the great journalism they're capable of, this would be a much more interesting and fulfilling organization for our listeners." End quote. The senior NPR business editor said he made several attempts to relay his concerns before choosing to publish an essay in the Free Press. But they weren't heard by the organization's leadership. In Berliner's scathing review of his employer's ideological makeup, he revealed that there were, and I quote here, I'm quoting from Berliner's article, a gentleman who has worked for NPR for years, there were 87 registered Democrats working in editorial positions at the Washington, D.C. headquarters, and zero Republicans. None. Republicans outnumbered at NPR's Washington Bureau, 87 to nothing. Berliner said that such a lack of viewpoint diversity seeped into the outlet's coverage, criticizing NPR's approach to a variety of prominent stories over the years, including allegations that former President Trump colluded with Russia in the 2016 election, the laptop belonging to President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and the theory that COVID-19 was triggered by a lab leak in China. Spokesperson for Representative Ronnie Jackson, a Republican from Texas, said that he is also trying to advance legislation in the House to defund NPR that he has introduced on multiple occasions, including in the current session of Congress. Representative Andy Ogles, who's a Republican from Tennessee, similarly told Fox News Digital in a statement, and I quote here, "I think Congress should exercise oversight of NPR, especially in light of the recent whistleblowers' allegations and subsequent suspension. Taxpayers fund NPR, and it should be a source that provides truly neutral and balanced perspective. That can only be achieved through a politically diverse staff. Otherwise, it is nothing more than a propaganda machine for the Democrat Party." End quote. Senator Bill Cassidy, a Republican from Louisiana, said in a statement he was clear that Congress should end public funding for NPR. And he said his office is exploring options to do so. NPR did not provide comment for this article, which appears on the Fox News website. And it is true. I mean, we have outlets here in New Hampshire, and, you know, it's not a new thing. This is not recent. I mean, this has been going on for years and years, and long before Donald Trump ever got on the scene. It's not a really necessarily specifically a Trump thing. It's the coverage that they've been providing for years and years. And some people eat it up. They love it. You know, just like, people on the other side like Fox News, for example. However, the big difference is Fox News, which has one perspective, which we know, CNN, which has another, MSNBC, they have their own perspective. Agree or disagree with the perspectives of those cable outlets. But the fact of the matter is, they are not funded by us, the United States of America, where NPR, except for the, you know, the auctions and fundraisers they run and all that stuff, funded by the federal government. That's the difference. That's the difference. If it's a privately owned a corporation like Fox, CNN, MSNBC, they can have their own perspectives. They are privately owned and operated. They can, you know, do have the perspective that they want. And you can agree with it or disagree with it, but at least you're not paying for it like we are for NPR. And ultimately, it's probably going to take years and years, but I think ultimately it is going to, the gravy train is going to come to an end. We will take a break. Kale and Company Live right here, WKXL, not federally funded. We are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. With individual and family plans designed to fit your lifestyle, learn more and find your plan at DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. We will be back in what they call a flash on WKXL. So stay with us. Kale and Company Live continues. Right here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com for a Wednesday. We are delighted that you chose to join us. If you have any views, ideas, and opinions that you would like to express on this privately owned radio station, give us a call. 603-224-1450. 603-224-1450. Views, ideas, and opinions always welcomed on this program. So give us a call. You'll talk with our producer, Andrew Gibson. He'll put you right through, and we can have a good discussion. By the way, today is International Ford Mustang Day. My first car was a 1966 Ford Mustang convertible. How about that, Andrew? First car. Ford Mustang convertible.
That is pretty nice.
Now of course, I didn't start driving in 1966. It was a used car, folks. But my dad bought it for me, and it was terrific. I loved it. One drawback was it did not have a heater. But it was okay. Yeah. It was fine. And it just had an AM radio. That was it. The AM radio. That's pretty much what all cars had in 1966, just an AM radio. And no heater, but it was a convertible. And love that aspect of it. Never had another convertible again. And I'm sorry I don't have that car now. Because if I had known Dan Weed at the time, he probably could have kept it alive for another 50 years. But I did not. So anyway, it was a great car. It would be a vintage vehicle now. It was a vintage vehicle then, but it was a terrific vehicle. I should have pulled out Mustang Sally today by Wilson Pickett, but today is International Ford Mustang Day, National Banana Day, National Bookmobile Day, National Cheeseball Day. You know, Andrew, I don't know about you. I like the taste of a cheese ball.
So I'm a texture guy. Sometimes certain textures kind of bother me a little bit, and as much as I love the taste of cheese balls, the type of crunch that comes from it reminds me like I'm chewing on styrofoam.
I very rarely eat them, and I'll tell you why. I mean, I do like the way they taste. They get all over your teeth. That's another thing. But the worst part is They get all over your hands.
Cheese ball fingers.
Yeah, right, exactly. But today, in fact, is National Cheese Ball Day. It's National Kickball Day. It's School Librarians Day, National Crawfish Day, and Bat Appreciation Day. No, I'm not talking about baseball bats. I'm talking about the ones that fly around. So today is the day to appreciate bats for whatever it is they do and what purpose they serve. So there you go. Those are the days being commemorated. And I'll tell you what tomorrow commemorates. Tomorrow commemorates the last time that you can ever go to the Regal Theater on Loudoun Road in Concord. It's sad. Really is. I've been going there for years, even before I was a Concord resident. But David Brooks and the Concord Monitor today, after Thursday's 7:30 showing of Kung Fu Panda 4, the Regal Cinemas on Loudoun Road will close for good, ending 28 years of multiplex movies on the Heights in Concord and marking the latest step in the redevelopment of the Steeplegate Mall. I'm sorry to see it go. I know, you know, attendance at the movies isn't what it used to be. Most people stream all their movies at home, but people still go. I tell you what, in the last year, Regal, or maybe it's longer than that, but I've been aware of it for about the last year, Regal has instituted a Monday mystery movie. You don't have any idea what the movie's going to be. You go in there. It's a $5 movie. That's all they charge for the Monday mystery movie. And I'll tell you what, I've seen some of the biggest crowds in recent years on those mystery movie Mondays at the Regal Theater on Loudoun Road in Concord. And people are going to miss that. They're going to miss it. And I know we have a great theater downtown in Red River, and we appreciate what they do. But they're taking all the entertainment away from the Loudoun Road area. You know, in recent days, you know, recent months, I should say, we lost the theater at the Steeplegate Mall, which was a great theater. And sorry to see that go, because they had some great shows there. And now we lose the movie theater on Loudoun Road. And tell you, it's sad. And you know what's going to be the saddest part? It may take a while. This is going to tee a lot of people off. People that did go to the Regal Cinema to see that building. If that building is still standing there 2 years from now, people are going to be ticked. The people that went there anyway. You know, I mean, they don't even, the company that owns it now, or owns the ground, owns the land, and it'll be demolished at some point. But I was reading the article today by David Brooks in the Monitor, and Onyx, the corporation that bought that land and the Steeplegate Mall area, they have not even applied to the city of Concord for a demolition permit to take down the Regal Cinema building. A necessary first step in the plans that they have to rejuvenate that area. So if I'm driving by the Regal Cinema 2 years from now, or even 2 months from now, and nothing's been done, I'm going to be ticked. And a lot of other people are, too. Why close it so soon? You don't even have a permit to demolish it yet. I guess there must be reasons for it. Movie theater dates back to 1996. Remember, it was the Canad Cinema. 10 screens. Half dozen years after Steeplegate Mall opened as part of the development of the city's large tract of open pine barrens. Site changed owners several times over the years. And I did not know this. I must have maybe knew it. I probably knew it at the time, but forgot that the theater was bought by Cineworld. Cineworld, which is based in the United Kingdom, by the way, bought in 2017, but they kept the Regal name. And they did all the Regal things. I mean, they had the Regal Unlimited movie passes, and you could subscribe for like $21 a month, which I did. I know Kitty Ray did, because we, you know, the movies, you know, were $12-$13 a piece, whatever it was. So with two movies, you could, you know, make up for the $21 or $22 you paid a month for the movie pass. So it was a good deal. But they went with the Regal promotions and all that, but it wasn't really owned by Regal, just had the Regal name. And it says, like many theaters, the Regal has struggled with declining movie attendance over the years. Cineworld actually went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy for a year, emerging last summer, and has closed some 150 Regal theaters throughout the United States as part of that effort. And one of the Regals that closed was in Hooksett. They closed that one. Everybody was shocked when that happened, that the theater that was closed by Regal was Hooksett and not Concord. Because I know that the attendance was larger in Hooksett than it was in Concord. But the one they chose to close was Hooksett for whatever reason. But that was part of their restructuring plan under Chapter 11 bankruptcy at the time. So the closing will leave the nonprofit Red River Theater on South Main Street as Concord's only public viewing movie house. The next closest theaters are in Hooksett. That's the Apple Theater, Tilton, and in Manchester. But I am sad. I know Kitty Ray is sad. Many people are sad to see the Regal go. Because you can't beat that movie theater popcorn. Had a big, big bin of it last night. And I guess because they're closing, they gave it to us free. I'm serious. They did. I'll take a break. Kale and Company continues right after these words. Here on WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com, we are presented by Northeast Delta Dental. We'll be right back. Kale and Company Live, WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Don't forget our Facebook Live telecast on the WKXL Facebook page. Friday morning, just after 8 o'clock. And we're looking forward to that. I've been guaranteed now we will have quality donuts in studio for that day. So you'll be able to see Andrew, you'll be able to see Tom, Kitty. We'll all be eating donuts during the breaks. Not while the show is actually going on, during the breaks. But see, behind the scenes, you'll see what we do during the breaks. And sometimes it's not pretty, folks. Sometimes it's not pretty. But we do it nonetheless. You know, I mentioned that they shut down the hat box in the Steeplegate Mall months ago now, which was a shame, because here we are. I mean, the hat box, Andrew and all the great folks there had to shut down operations and try to relocate elsewhere. Here it's been, what, 3-4 months now? I mean, why couldn't they still have been doing it at that location? I don't get it. But we do have great theater downtown, a Capital Center for the Arts. And along those lines, WKXL NH Talk Radio is presenting New Hampshire Opera Idol. The big competition is coming up. The audience will be choosing the winners. And that will be 1 week from this Sunday, April 28th. Mark your calendars. Doors will open at 2:30. You can get your tickets now at www.ccanh.com, or you can call 603-225-1111 And it's going to be a great afternoon of opera singing. And boy, there's a lot of talent out there. There really and truly is. If you go to any, you know, local productions and that sort of thing, it always blows my mind to see how much talent there is out there. Really, it's truly amazing. And I'm sure those talents will be on display a week from Sunday, 3 p.m. Doors open at 2:30 at the Bank of New Hampshire Stage Building in downtown Concord. Beautiful spot. They have a lot of great shows there, as they do at the Capitol Center for the Arts. So we're blessed to have them in town. And they show no signs of closing, and which is a good thing. And the Red River is going strong. I just, you know, just kind of like the Regal, you know, because it was convenient for a lot of people on Loudoun Road, you know, do the shopping on Loudoun Road, whatever it might be, go out to dinner and then go to a movie on Loudoun Road. And, but won't be able to do it after Thursday night. And if that building is still standing there a year from now, a lot of people are going to be very upset about it, including me. Anyway, who cares about me and about anybody else that goes to the Regal Cinema? All right. High school baseball today. Should be a beautiful day to go out, see a high school baseball game for free. How about that, huh? See it for free. Concord will play at Winneconnet at 4:30. Goffstown will host Nashua North at 4:30. Tonight, Wyndham is at Manchester Memorial at 7. Bow Falcons at Pembroke at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hanover at John Stark at 4:30. Plymouth at Merrimack Valley at 4. Mascoma Valley at Bishop Brady at 4 o'clock. Guildford at Hopkinson at 4. Summersworth at Hillsborough Deering at 4 o'clock. That's the baseball game. Softball today. All of these games are at 4 o'clock. All of the games are at 4 o'clock. Winneconnet at Concord. Central Memorial at Pinkerton. Spalding at West Trinity. Bow at Pembroke. Plymouth at Merrimack Valley. Mascoma Valley at Bishop Brady. Summersworth at Hillsborough Deering. And Guildford at Hopkinton at 4 p.m. So, great day to get out, check out a little baseball, a little softball, and have a fun time at very little cost to you. But at any rate, one of the other articles today I mentioned in the Concord Monitor, Above the Fold. Monitor, they do such a great job in covering local news. They really, I mean, they've won many awards over the years, and deservedly so. And they do a great job covering the local scene. They still have some great reporters out there and do a terrific job. So occasionally we like to read verbatim from the Monitor. And I will, just for a couple of minutes here, to bring you up to date on where the casino issue stands in Concord. At the start of the year, a Concord casino was ordered to close its doors and sell the business within 6 months. But so far, no buyers have stepped forward to acquire the establishment. According to Charlie McIntyre, the executive director of the New Hampshire Lottery, at Monday's Gaming Commission meeting, there has been no sale, no change in the status of the Concord facility. In a ruling issued in December, Andy Sanborn, the owner and operator of the casino located at 67 South Main Street, was ordered to close the gaming establishment and complete its sale within 6 months, beginning January 1st, or risk a two-year license revocation. Currently, Sanborn's facility and game operator employer licenses are suspended until a sale to a new buyer is approved by the New Hampshire Lottery Commission. And Sanborn's legal troubles started when a joint investigation by the Attorney General's office and the New Hampshire Lottery Commission found that he had fraudulently applied for and received $844,000 in pandemic relief funds, which were intended for struggling small businesses. And the investigation found Sanborn, a former state senator, unsuitable for charity gaming. In fact, casinos were explicitly excluded from receiving that financial assistance. But Sanborn managed to sidestep this restriction by masking the registered trade name Concord Casino on his application by utilizing the name Win-Win-Win LLC instead, and categorized the business activity as, quote, unquote, miscellaneous, according to a report by the Attorney General's office and the Lottery Commission. His lawyers later argued the company was a charity gaming consulting business, which included slot machines and roulette wheels and poker tables. But all they were doing was consulting the gambling world, folks. That's what they were doing. The misrepresentations on the COVID application and the subsequent use of the proceeds for expenditures not allowed by that loan constitute conduct by the licensee that undermines the public confidence in charitable gaming. That's according to Michael King, an independent hearing examiner. So what? I mean, Andy Samborn, what did he get? He got $844,000 from the government. It's just a mere bag of shells, right? Well, he was able to buy three nice luxury vehicles for himself and his lovely bride. The ruling also makes note that if a sale is pending at the end of 6 months, which is July 1st, Samborn can apply for a three-month extension to complete the sale. Now, with Concord Casino, this is where it really impacts people. With the Concord Casino shut down, almost 35 charities have lost their donations. How about that? 35 charities have lost some rather significant donations. And that's tough when you're counting on it as part of your budget to get these charitable contributions. That's going to be hard. It's hard on them since the casino was shut down in December. While discussing whether the revenue split from historical horse racing machines is reasonable and still trying to wrap their heads around the complexities of the state's charitable gaming model, commission members had questions about the transfer of business ownership when Concord Casino was mentioned. John Conforti, who was the Lottery Commission's chief compliance officer, said that even with a partial change in ownership, the commission has the authority to conduct a suitability review and determine if the change complies with its rules. So it's going to be a while, folks, if that casino is rejuvenated at all on South Main Street. I don't feel, and you know, I have nothing against charitable casinos. I think they do a good job, and many charities have benefited from them. So I don't have an issue with them if they're run properly and above board. And there's one in Belmont, of course, where the old dog track used to be. The biggest one and the most successful one has been the Brook in Seabrook, which was the old Seabrook dog track. And that one is as close to what I would call a real casino than any in the state, the one at Seabrook. It's really a beautiful thing, and they're expanding on it all the time. And many charities are benefiting from it, and that's a great thing. I don't think that location on South Main Street is a good one. I really don't. Never did. And there are other places. There are other places they could have a casino in Concord if the desire is there, if the market is there for it. I just don't think that, for many reasons, is a very good location for that casino. At any rate, that's my two cents. Hey, don't forget Slim. Sports Machine coming up. I'm sure Slim is going to have a lot to say about the Bruins debacle Monday and Tuesday. Oh, man. Very disheartening what has been taking place with the Bruins and the Red Sox over the last couple of days. All right, we've got a mosey on out of here. We'll see you tomorrow. Kale and Company Live, presented by Northeast Delta Dental. Remember, folks, always look on the bright side of life. Have a great Wednesday, everyone.